You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. No matter who you are, you probably had a job that changed you, or you learned a financial lesson that stuck with you. On this show, we ask actors, writers, and other notable people to open up and tell us about how money plays a role in their life. This week, Top Chef winner, Breaking Borders host, and LA chef Michael Voltaggio takes our money-inspired questionnaire. It's called the Marketplace Quiz, and here he is with our producer, Eliza Mills.
My name is Michael Voltaggio. I'm a chef in Los Angeles, California. I have a couple restaurants here. Inc. is the main one, and I occasionally play myself on television, too.
Fill in the blank. Money can't buy you happiness, but it can buy you...
dinner at one of my restaurants.
What does it buy you?
Wow. I am a car fanatic, so I guess I would say that. But more importantly, I would say a plane ticket, just to go somewhere and experience something different.
If you weren't a chef in your next life, what would your career be?
When I was a kid, I wanted to be a rodeo clown, and I have no idea why. I just thought it was the coolest thing in the world. You know, you've got this crazy animal and the cowboy riding it. No one ever gave credit to the rodeo clown, like the guy that was out there, like putting himself out there to like save the cowboy's life. Like the rodeo clown gets to save the cowboy. I mean, how cool is that? The cowboy is usually the one that saves everyone else.
Is cooking ever like being a rodeo clown?
I think in a lot of cases it is, yeah, for sure. It's very chaotic. There's a lot going on. And, you know, in some cases, you know, before the kitchen walls came down and everyone was sort of in front of the audience, you know, you were sort of the rodeo clown back there. You're the guy that wasn't really getting the credit. You were just that weird person that was in the kitchen making this food. The work was being done, but the praise was happening on the other side of the wall.
What's the hardest part of your job that nobody knows about?
I think the hardest part about my job today is balancing everything, being more than what I signed up to be. I signed up to be a cook, eventually wanted to be a chef, but I didn't sign up to be a CEO, a president of a company, a television personality. And so it's figuring out how to do all of those things that I was never really educated to do.
When did you realize that being a cook or a chef could be an actual career for you?
And it's the only job that I've ever had. Since I was 15 years old, I started working in restaurants. I'm 37 years old now, and I've only been paid to really be a chef, or a cook for that matter. Understanding that there was something more to working in the food service industry than just working in the food service industry. I remember, like, when I told my parents, you know, I'm not going to go to college. I'm going to, you know, go to this culinary apprenticeship. I'm going to work, you know, in restaurants. And it was like, oh, yeah, I kind of figured you'd end up in the food service industry. And now it's like, wow, we're really proud of you. So there's this kind of, you know, we didn't make it that way. And I remember seeing the executive chefs of the places that I worked and thinking, like, yeah, one day I'm going to have a decent job. I didn't think that I would have such an amazing career.
What was your first job?
My first job, I was a busboy at a Holiday Inn hotel in Frederick, Maryland, and my brother was the sous chef in the kitchen. I wanted to work in the kitchen, and I remember the other sous chef and my brother said, okay, come in tomorrow dressed in a cook's uniform with the apron, the hat, the chef jacket, the whole thing, and we'll start you in the kitchen on the garmage, which is the cold station. So I show up the next day, I'm all excited, I get up early, I get to work, I'm 15, 16 years old, and I'm dressed like a chef. Well, Brian and the other sous chef were both off, and the executive chef was there, and he looked at me, and he just basically said, what is this, effing Halloween? Like, what are you supposed to be? They never told him that I was coming in not as a busboy the next day, but as a cook in the kitchen, and so he just, from that day on, mopped the floor with me.
But clearly, it was in some way inspiring to you.
I didn't love so much the... Maybe I did love the drama that was in the kitchen. Maybe there was a little bit of me that really enjoyed the, not the yelling and screaming, but the intensity of it. But then when the creative process was exposed to me and I could see, like, wait a second, I can take all of these ingredients over here and I can make my own dish out of it if I want to and I can sell it in the restaurant tonight and that's okay. That empowerment at that age and being able to experience that and then have people hopefully say that they enjoyed it, for me was one of the most inspiring things I've ever experienced in my life.
What's your most prized possession?
I collect a lot of cookbooks, and I know that's an obvious one, but it helped me a lot, especially last year I was cooking in a lot of different countries, and I would show up and try and understand the cuisine there, and so the first thing I would do is go to a bookstore and try and find a cookbook that was written in English. I now have hundreds of cookbooks.
What's something that everyone should own, no matter the cost?
I think everyone should probably own a Vitamix blender. That piece of equipment is in every single professional kitchen around the world. And even if the plugs are a little bit different in different places, you can't do without that blender.
Do you remember the first set of knives you ever bought?
I remember the first set of knives that I... Well, my mom bought me a set of Global knives, and I remember because there was a knife that I really wanted, and it was sort of a Deba style, which is like the Japanese fish butchering style knife. And I really, really wanted that knife. And so my mom purchased it for me. But then later on, I learned that you can't give a knife as a gift. There's supposed to be a transaction that takes place, because if you give a knife as a gift, apparently it cuts off your friendship. And so every time I gift a knife to someone, and I do this with my cooks a lot because a lot of companies send me knives and things like that, or I buy myself new knives, I'll sell my knives that are, you know, they're not cheap knives. They're fairly expensive, several hundreds of dollars, and I'll sell them for like a dollar to my cooks, or a quarter. So anytime somebody gives you a knife as a gift, make sure you give them a coin, a dollar, something in return for that, and make sure there's a transaction so it doesn't cut off the friendship.